You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Colin Smith of Open the Bible. To contact us, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365 or visit our website, openthebible.org. Let's get to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Well, I invite you to turn today again to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And to tell you, I continue to draw deeply from the scripture in my own life and cannot imagine a text of scripture that is more applicable to us at this time. The Apostle Paul found himself in desperate circumstances. He was in prison. He knew that before long he would be put to death in Rome. His young assistant, Timothy, was inclined to panic. And so Paul writes this letter to Timothy to establish him in the faith and to encourage him in the Lord. And we've seen in these past weeks that in verses 8 to 11, the thrust of Paul's message to Timothy is simply this: Timothy, whatever happens, remember you are a saved person in Jesus Christ. He saved us. And Timothy, whatever happens, remember this: you are called to a holy life. That is what you must pursue in every circumstance, whatever. And Timothy, remember this, that whatever happens, your eternal destiny is in the presence of Jesus Christ, who has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And we've tried to picture Paul's situation, described by William Hendrickson as being incarcerated in some dismal underground dungeon with a hole in the ceiling for light and air. And if you can try and imagine the apostle in this desperate circumstance, you would think that he might be saying, you know, where is God in all of this? You would think that he might be saying, I just can't understand why God allows these things to happen in my life. But that is not what he is saying. Instead, what we find in chapter 1 and verse 12 is that he's saying, Timothy, I want you to know that I am not ashamed for this reason. I know whom I have believed. You remember that reminded us that Christian faith is focused on a person, Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed, not what or when. I know whom I have believed. And it reminds us that a Christian has a living relationship with this person, Jesus Christ. I know him. I know whom I have believed. And we have confidence in this person. I know whom I have believed. I trust him. And my security doesn't rest in the greatness of my faith, because my faith may not be very great at all. But it does rest on the greatness of the one in whom I have put my trust. I know him. I know whom I have believed. And so Paul is telling his nervous friend that he is finding strength in the supreme competence of Jesus Christ, and that this is how the apostle is able to live with confidence in an uncertain and changing world. Now, that's something of what we've learned from the verse so far. And I want us today to focus on the second half of the verse. I know whom I have believed. But then he says, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Now, this is wonderful, because Paul is telling us how knowing Jesus Christ is changing his life. And more than that, he's telling us how knowing Jesus Christ can change our lives too. How's that going to happen? Well, it's all in the second half of this verse. Now, here's how I'd like to approach this text. I want you to imagine yourself on the basketball court. And let's just for effect imagine that it is the last minute of the seventh game in the NBA Finals. And you are under big pressure, and at this critical moment, the ball is passed into your hands. And for a split second, you can see an open path all the way to the basket. So you know exactly what you have to do. You have to take 1, 2, 3 steps and get yourself airborne and slam dunk that thing with all of the strength that is in you. Now, for those of us who have never been able to get close to a slam dunk, I am asking you to use your imagination, but you get the picture. What we're going to try and do this morning is to take 3 steps that will get you airborne and bring you to a position of victory that Paul was experiencing in his own life in very, very difficult circumstances. So here we go. Step 1. I have committed everything to Christ. Now, you see what he's saying here, if you look at this text, that Christ is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. He's able to guard what I have entrusted. So there has been an act of entrusting on the part of the Apostle Paul. And the question, of course, then is, what has Paul trusted to Christ? And the answer, of course, is his whole self, everything about him. Body, soul, spirit, life, ministry, friends, everything. What I have entrusted to him. I found it helpful to put what Paul says here alongside the verse that we've just read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Paul there says something very similar to what he says to Timothy. He says to the Thessalonians, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see, that reminds us that being a Christian involves committing your whole self to Jesus Christ and then Christ keeping what you've committed to him. And Paul says that includes body, soul, and spirit. Let's think about body, which is the easiest one, committing your physical life to God. James Denny, who writes very helpfully on this passage, says that what the apostle prays for is that God would make the body in its entirety, every organ and every function of it, holy. He then says, God made the body at the beginning. He made it for himself, and it is his. To begin with, the body is neither holy nor unholy. It has no character of its own at all. It may therefore be sanctified, or it may be profaned. It may be made a servant of God, or the servant of sin. It may be consecrated, or it may be prostituted. That's James Denny. Now, the Apostle Paul, of course, speaks about this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather, he says, offer the parts of your body to Christ as instruments of righteousness. So we're being called as Christians to offer, to entrust our physical capacities into the hands of Jesus Christ. What that means is that I, as best I am able, offer my mouth to him, and that means saying, Jesus, let what I speak be for your glory and the good of others. It means offering my hands, let what I do be for the advance of your kingdom. It means offering my feet. It means saying, Jesus, I am prepared to go any place that you send me, which is a position that all Christians should always be in. It means offering your eyes to Christ. Lord, let me be someone who sees need and is sensitive to it and then ready to reach out into it. It means offering your strength, your capacity to work. It means offering even your capacity for pleasure to him so that all things, even eating and drinking, for example, are done for the glory of God, that nothing is separated from this overarching purpose of life, that everything that I am physically is offered into his hands. And that's where the Apostle Paul was. Then think about committing your mental, emotional, and spiritual life to God. Now, there's a long-standing debate, as many of you know, about the relationship between soul and spirit. Sometimes they seem to be the same. For example, in Mary's song, do you remember the Magnificat? My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Hebrew parallelism, it looks like they're the same there. Sometimes they seem to be distinct. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That's Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Well, if they're like joints and marrow, it's evident that even if they can be distinguished, they are pretty closely bound up together. I've found it helpful to think about soul and spirit as your inner life viewed from two sides. The soul speaks of your inner life in relation to your own experience of it. Your mind, your heart, your will, your imagination, your thoughts, your desires, your passions, your dreams. Your spirit may speak of that same inner life in relation to God, your faith, your love, your hope, your character, your perseverance. Have you committed your mind to God? Lord, here is this mind. Let it think under the authority of your word. What about your imagination, your creativity? Lord, you are the creator. I give the creativity that you have given to me. Let it be used to create that which is good and that which is worthy of you. What about your hopes, your dreams? Now, throughout your life in this world, your body, soul, and spirit will be subjected to great strain. You will be tested, you will be tempted, you will face great trials, and sometimes you will wonder, how can I physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually stand up under the pressure of this? How in all the world will my faith survive? Now here's the marvelous truth. What you've committed to Him, He will guard. Isn't that good news? What you've committed to Him, He will guard. What about ministry? Commentators on this letter point out that what Paul committed to the Lord was not just himself, but everything that pertained to his life, his ministry, his teaching, his evangelism, his church planting, his converts. I mean, here is a man who knows that he has only a short time left to live, and he's going to leave behind this legacy of ministry, people who've come to Christ and so forth. And he's in this position where there is so much more that he would like to have done. And how is he to find peace? And he finds peace by committing his ministry into the hands of Christ. It's all come from his hands in the first place. Lord, here is my life's work. I commit it into your hand, knowing that you are able to keep what I have entrusted to you. And don't you think that as Paul prayed for Timothy, the younger man, every day, that Timothy also was included in what Paul committed into the hands of Christ? Timothy, I have committed you into the hands of Christ, and I am convinced that He is able to guard you as He has guarded me. You know, it is a marvelous thing to be able to commit your loved ones into the hands of Christ. To have a son or a daughter who worries you so much, and to lift him and lift her into the hands of Christ is an act of faith. And to say, Lord, I'm placing him there. One of the many joys that Karen and I had earlier this year in visiting Hong Kong was coming to know some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful missionaries. One of them, a lady by the name of Diane Lawrence, who served all of her life since she graduated from Moody here. She met her husband at Moody. They went out to serve the Lord in China. She's now in Hong Kong, lifetime of ministry. I believe, as I recall it, they were married around 10 years or something like that. And then he contracted a severe illness and died of it. And she has continued to serve the Lord as a widow ever since. She's now in, I would guess, her 50s. And she said to Karen and I when we were talking, she was recalling the whole experience of her loss and testifying to what Christ has done for her sins. And she said, the last thing he said to me was, I've committed you into the hand of Christ, and he can take much better care of you than I ever could. And she said, I've proved that all these years. Timothy, I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. Nothing in your hands can ever be secure. Everything in his hands must always be secure. That's the principle. I hope this isn't too trivial, but sometimes a picture makes a serious point. And just thinking about this through the week, my own mind went back to a game that was often played in birthday parties when I was very, very young. I don't know if it's well known here. Pass the parcel. Did you pass the parcel? No, absolute blank expressions. No. Okay, I have to explain pass the parcel. There are various rules, but this is how we played it. Okay, a prize, usually a large bar of chocolate or a big bag of candy, was wrapped many times. In fact, wrapped the same number of times as the number of children attending the party. The children all then sit in a circle on the floor. And the music begins to play, and the parcel has to be passed. Now, if you are holding the parcel when the music stops, you are out of the game. And the person next to you gets to take off one wrapper, getting closer to the candy that's inside. So the only way to win the game is to make sure that you are not holding the parcel, right down to the last two when they're desperately trying to get rid of it until the music stops. The picture came back to me. The only way to win the prize is to make sure you're not holding the parcel. Now take that picture. Nothing in your hands can ever be secure. Everything in his hands must always be secure. So the way to victory in your life and in mine is to get as quickly as possible everything out of our hands and into his hands. This thing that I call my family. Into his hands. This thing that I call my ministry. Into his hands. This thing that I call my future into his hands. This thing that I call my life into his hands. And Paul is able to say, I have committed everything to Christ. Now, can you say that? I mean, what are you holding in your hands that's not yet committed to him? See, here is the first step to freedom and to victory. I have committed everything to Christ. That's step one. Remember, three steps to get airborne, that's step one. Step two, Christ will guard what I've committed to him. Now, this is what we learn from Paul's teaching and from his own experience, as well as from our own. Christ will guard what I've committed to him. Listen to what he says. I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him against that day. Christ is able to guard what you have trusted to him. So if your body belongs to him, here's the good news. You can trust him in relation to your body. You can trust him when that body is strong. You can trust him when your body is weak. And when you take the last breath into your body, you can trust him, knowing that he will raise your body to everlasting life. It's a promise of the gospel. And if your soul is trusted to him, you can trust him with your soul. He will guard your soul, your inner life, when your mind is spinning in confusion. He will protect your soul when emotions are rising like waves in the sea. And if your spirit is trusted to him, then he will guard your spirit. How is your faith going to survive the pressures of life? Answer, because Christ will guard your faith. How can you continue to have hope when you feel despair? Answer, because Christ will guard your hope. How can you continue to love when it seems very, very difficult? Answer, because Christ will guard your love. He will guard all that you have entrusted to him. And that's where freedom begins. A group of college students were round our house recently, and the discussion got round to the ultimate summer job for a college student. Now, someone had found, a friend of his had landed a job house-sitting for a family on the North Shore. They were paying the student $100 a day for the student simply to sit in their house while they were gone on vacation. Not bad work if you can get it. Eat the food in someone else's fridge, sit on someone else's sofa and watch their television and get paid $100 a day just for being there. Now, I want you, because that got my imagination going, to imagine that you are house-sitting for me, though I tell you I certainly would not pay you $100 for doing it, but I want you to imagine that you are house-sitting for me while I am away on vacation. So you come round, and I show you everything that you need to know about the house, you move your case and your stuff in, you wish me well, and I head off to the airport. 15 minutes later, as you're sitting in the house, settling into the stuff in the fridge and into a program on the television, the phone rings. You pick it up, and you hear my voice. Hi, I say. It's Colin. Just about pulling into O'Hare. Just wondered if everything's all right with the house. Yes, yes, you say. Nothing has happened in the last 15 minutes. 2 hours later, the phone rings again. Hi, Colin here. I'm actually up in the plane now. Marvelous thing. They have these phones in the aeroplane, you know. Just thought I'd make a call and make sure that everything's all right. I think I'm somewhere over Iceland and just wanted to make sure that you remember to lock the door for the night. You roll your eyes. The following morning, the phone goes again. Now you are getting seriously annoyed with me. Hi, it's me, I say, Colin here, just thought you'd like to know that I'm over in England, just want to know, is everything okay with the house? Now, at this point, what are you going to do? You're going to say something like this. Now, look, you will say, you have entrusted your house to me, and I have committed myself to look after it for you, and frankly, I'm well able to do that. Now go and enjoy your vacation and stop phoning me up to ask if everything's okay. I am able to look after your house. Now apply that picture to our Lord Jesus Christ. You have committed your whole self and everything about you to him. Your life and everything that concerns you is in his hand. And he is well able to handle what you have trusted to him. Right? Now you see, that is why David could say in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For even there, you are with me. your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see the freedom of that? No fear. Fear paralyzes your life. And it is perfect love that casts out fear, the Bible says, and there is only one kind of perfect love, and that is the perfect love of God. And when you know that your life is in the hands, the nail-pierced hands of the one who is perfect love, you are delivered from every fear. That is how the gospel works. So three steps to victory. I have committed everything to Christ. You've got to take that first step before you can take the second. I've committed everything to Christ. Second, Christ will guard what I've committed to him. And here's the third step with which we become airborne, as we're able to say with the Apostle Paul, that I am convinced that Christ will guard what I've committed to him. Notice what he says. There's this expression of personal faith in these great truths and realities of life. I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to keep what I've entrusted to him for that day. Now, you know, it is terribly easy to become convinced about the wrong things. And I've found it helpful to identify some things that I'm not convinced of in order to highlight more clearly in my own mind that which I truly am convinced of. So let me give you some examples, and you will, I'm sure, resonate with these yourself and be able to add others of your own. I'm not convinced that I'm always right. Far from it. I'm not convinced that I always know what is best. Far from it. I'm not convinced that I always know what God is doing in my life. Far from it. I'm not convinced that everything in my life will work out as I would want it to. Far from it. But I am convinced, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. Now, there's a really old hymn that some of us know. I recall it from childhood years, that takes up the theme of this verse. And I know that some of us will have the music of that kind of imprinted on our minds. We're not going to sing it, but I want simply to read the words of the verse and then invite us as a congregation in the sanctuary and in the gym to join in affirming the words of the chorus taken from the authorized version of this great verse, to make it our confession of faith. If we with Paul are convinced of these things, then let us say so and declare our faith in the presence of God. I've revised the words just slightly to make them a little clearer for today, but some of you will recognize these words. Let me read the verse, and then each time, will you express your confidence in Christ and take your stand with the Apostle Paul as aloud we affirm the truth that we have been learning together? Here's the song. I don't know why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, or why, unworthy as I am, he claimed me as his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. Here's the next statement of what I don't know. I don't know how this saving faith to me he did impart, or how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. I don't know how the Spirit moves, convincing us of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. I don't know what the future holds or what's in store for me. The joys and sorrows on the road before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. I don't know when my Lord may come. I don't know when or where. If I shall pass the veil of death or meet him in the air, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. Now, do you know this final security in your life? Because to find your way through life in this world, you need this more than anything else. You need to be able to take your stand with the Apostle Paul, and therefore to be able to face anything. So what do you need to commit into his hands today, so that as it's committed, you can know that he'll guard it? And knowing that he'll guard it, you can take your stand with Paul and say, I'm convinced. He's able, and he will not fail. Let's bow in prayer together, shall we? A moment of quietness. What better thing could you do today than take an inventory of your life and place it all into the hands of Christ? What do you need to commit into his hands today? And as you identify it, will you trust him to guard it? And now ask him, because it's trusted into the hand of the faithful guardian, ask him now to deliver you from fear. Lord, may it truly be that for every person in this congregation and every circumstance of life, that we will be able to say with the apostle, I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to keep what I've entrusted to him for that day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon with Pastor Colin Smith of Open the Bible. To contact us, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365 or visit our website, openthebible.org.